And man, it's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting for tonight. This is the 28th of July. Wow, this year is going by really, really fast. And I would like to also thank for those that have been listening over the internet for all the wonderful comments that they've been giving on the teaching here, the wilderness truths from modern times. And yes, we are leaving Beth Haven now. I got so many comments. Wow, Moab and Beth Haven, of course, those were two wildernesses that God did not want the children of Israel to go to, but because of their disobedience, they went there. Of course, Moab was fear and death, and Beth Haven was pride and evil. And so anyway, we're going to be leaving out of there today. But before we go ahead and get into Wilderness for Modern Times, number 78, let's go ahead and look back at the last teaching that we ended up talking about Beth Haven. And then there's a couple of different points I'd like to look at, and then we can go ahead and just move on. The first point is, it is our lust that leads us to death, both physically and spiritually. Let me say that again. It is our lust, and often not Satan or this person or that person or whatever, but the Bible tells us it is our lust. James 1:15 tells us that it is our lust. And when our lust has conceived, then it leads to destruction and ultimately death. So we, must be careful with that and not allow our lust to take our life. Now the second point, in God there is never to be defeat. In God there is never to be defeat. There is no defeat in God. So if you want to be defeated, then you have to move outside of God, because there's no defeat in God. In God there's forward ever, backwards never. And of course we know that there's no neutral. You can't be standing still. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and just stand still a little bit. No, that's not true. Either you're moving forward in God or you're moving backwards in God. Connie and Josh graduated from Jacksonville High School, I think like 2005 and 2006 respectively. And Jacksonville High School motto was forward ever, backwards never. And I so agree with that. And that's the way it is spiritually. We must always be moving forward. If not, we're moving backwards. Amen? The third point we looked at is, if we find ourselves going backwards, we must repent. That word repent is a British term, and it means to about face and go in the opposite direction. And the sooner we realize, and that's the first thing we have to do, we have to realize that we're backsliding, that we're going backwards, then we must repent, we must stop and go, go in the opposite direction. And the sooner, the better. The sooner we find that we're moving in the wrong direction, the sooner that we're going to go ahead and repent and go in the opposite direction. The fourth point is, the longer one goes in Beth Haven, the more of the work of God in our lives is lost. And of course, Beth Haven is that wilderness that's always synonymous with backsliding. That's what was happening in Beth Haven with the children of Israel, that were backsliding or moving away from God. And the longer one goes into Beth Haven in that backsliding, the more of the work of God is lost in our life. And it doesn't happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. It happens slowly. It's a gradual process. Amen? And it begins, backsliding, believe it or not, begins with a lack of love for God. So what happens is you lose our love for God. Slowly, this incident and this thing, and we slowly lose our love for God. And then we start moving away from God because of the lack of love that we have for God. And then what is lost is the work that God has done in our life. And then we wake up one morning and it's all over, and we find ourselves out of God. And that's not God's intention. The fifth point is, there may be repentance, but recovery seems to be out of the question. There may be repentance. And when we wake up and we find ourselves out of God, we may repent, but we may not ever recover to the point that we were at the first time. Because we have to make up ground. We have to make up the ground that was lost, from our backsliding, and then we got to begin to move forward. And we can see there may be repentance. Look at Judas's life, and Moses, I mean, you know, Judas gave the money back, he repented, but then he went out and committed suicide, so there was no recovery. Moses sinned, and all the good things that Moses did, wow, but Moses sinned, and he repented, but he never recovered. He never made it into the promised land. He repented, but he never recovered from that. And then Samson, of course, he repented after going around with a grist mill, losing his sight. He repented, and in his death, he did, you know, he killed more Philistines, but again, there was no recovery in his life. And the sixth point is the safety factor is a tender heart. God can always move a broken spirit and a contrite or crushed and ground to powder heart. God can always move that. That is our safety factor. If we have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, then we will never have to worry about backsliding. Let me say that again. If we have a tender heart, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, we will never have to worry about backsliding. And the last point is always be willing for God's, for God's and even some other people's correction. The number one sign we are God's children is not how long we speak in tongues and how much money we gave the church and all the good things and working there and with all of these things. That is not the number one sign that we are God's children. The number one sign is us being able to be corrected, us allowing God to correct us. And we can see that, it's not our abilities and gifts and our talents, it's our ability to allow God to correct us. Amen? So those were 7 points that we looked at from last time. Now let's go ahead and get into Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 78. Number 78 is really, really good, teaching, and I'm really looking forward to sharing it with y'all. Let's go ahead and look at Genesis 21:14. We'll look at our text. And of course, this is about Hagar as she goes into the wilderness of Beersheba. And of course, the wilderness is those things in our life, those difficulties and those circumstances and all of those situations in our life that we believe that will lead us into death and into problems. But in reality, it is a place of sustenance. It's a place of life if we can see the Lord moving that. So here Genesis 21:14 says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her on her way." Now, a bottle of water and some bread is not a lot of, water and bread to take into the wilderness. Basically, he sent them out so that they could die. And if you read the story, you know that God, believe it or not, saves her life and the child's life. It's a good story of God's provision for her. Amen. And she departed, and she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. A little bit of introduction here. Over the past, we have looked at 7 divinely arranged spiritual wildernesses that have been designed by God to personally teach us lessons about His character and His nature. All of these wilderness truths for modern times, they were all, they were all developed so that we could learn more personally about God and so that He could teach us His lessons about His character and His nature. That's the heart of wilderness, truths for modern times. The benefit of these wildernesses are only for those who have received the lessons in their heart and the spirit. So if you have heard these and you have not, you're not received those, and you dispute it or you didn't want to hear those, well then you will never be able to receive the benefits of that. You will be in the other category, and that's all others have wasted their time and their energy. So true, either we learn what God is teaching us or we are wasting our time. Let me say that again. either we learn what God is trying to teach us in situations and trials and things in our life, or we're wasting our time. I would say many Christians are going to church, well, so-called Christians are going to church, and they're not learning anything. They're not doing, you know, what God wants them to do. So believe it or not, they are wasting their time. And I would go a little further and say it would be better that they did not go to church. Because if the pastor stands up there and delivers any truth, and they hear that truth, and they take that into themselves, then now they're going to be held accountable for that truth. So anytime we hear truth, we're accountable for that truth. So it's so important that, you know, when we tackle the things of the Spirit, that we learn the lessons, so our time will not be wasted. Amen? God is just not handling our sin, but is teaching us things now for this life. Amen? But He's teaching us things now so that we will be useful in the future. If we can't learn the things that God has for us now, if we can't understand what God is teaching us now, He cannot do it in our next life. If, you know, and we won't be useful. I don't know, maybe, let me back up, maybe in our next life we'll be able to do that. Our sins are forgiven and we'll be in heaven, and maybe we'll have a school for all of the knuckleheads that never learned the things on the earth. You know, I don't know. But that's not God's intentions. God's intention is for us to learn here on earth in what Karen calls boot camp, so that we will be able to move and flow and function with God in the next life when we get in there. Amen? In way of review, I would like to use a wilderness. This will be number 8 in the course. Number 8 always means new beginning that we did not discuss. Now, the wilderness of Beersheba was the wilderness right on the edge of the promised land. And if they would have left out of Goshen and went due north and, you know, and went into the promised land, they would have went in through the wilderness of Beersheba. Amen? But the lessons contained will serve us as a great overview in the lessons God tried to share with the children of Israel. This wilderness is the wilderness of Beersheba. The worlds of Beersheba relate to the Christian life in many, many ways. So this is a very, very important understanding for us in the wilderness of Beersheba. For Hagar, it was a place of wandering. And that's not, I wonder what's going to happen and think about the future, but this is walking, the happy wanderer, going for a long walk. And in my days, I have went for many walks in the wilderness, and I've shared the story there, how I went out into the wilderness with no water and almost died. So wandering will get you into trouble if you're not prepared. She lost her way. Trying to make it through, she spent her resources. Again, a bottle of water and a little bit of bread was not enough sustenance for her to get through the wilderness of Beersheba. Basically, Abraham was giving her food and water so that she could just go off into the wilderness, believe it or not, and die. It was not because of her disobedience. That's important. You know, on her part, you know, that would be another story, and maybe we can look at that. But she simply did not know where she was nor how to find her way out. She did not know where she was in the wilderness of Beersheba, and she did not know how to find her way out. It was part of her lot in life. It was to be a means of fulfillment. And so it is in the Christian's life. Wandering is the first of many aspects encountered that teach us many lessons. Let me say that again. Wandering is the first, and that's not I wonder who, or, you know, but wandering is the first of many aspects encountered that will teach us many lessons. Now, that's a very, very important point. Simply, our lot in life is more than our lot in life. But the handiwork of God that often looks like sure death. Here in Hagar's life, you know, she only had a little bit of food, a little bit of water, and surely she was going to die. But in her wandering, God brought her to a place and to where he could save her and the child. So oftentimes when we wonder and we do this and we do that and we wonder what's going on, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and you know, well, that may not be the case. God may have us doing this wondering so that he can arrange things for our life. If we endure and learn, we will be saved. If not, we will be lost. Amen? In all of our wandering, there is a place that God wants us to get to. Now, it may take us longer. It took the children of Israel, the second generation, 40 years. But in that wandering, they got to this place that God wanted them to get to. But that first generation, they were lost because they never learned the lessons that God had for them. The wandering is designed to bring one to the realization of their inadequacies and that they have no clear and certain direction apart from God. Wow. I like that so much, I'm going to share that again. The wandering is designed to bring us to the realization of our inadequacies and that we have no clear and certain direction apart from God. Wow. Wondering is worth the trouble if it can bring such revelation. This wondering can relate to the unbeliever. He is without salvation provided by Christ and without the inclination to follow the Lord. But the wondering also relates to the believer who has been trusting in the Lord, at least in some areas. How many times have we thought, I'm just spinning my wheels doing nothing? Kathleen, you said that today. Your friend at the food bank was saying, well, thank you very much for calling and letting me know what the Lord did in this case, because I thought we were basically spinning our wheels. Amen? We were just spinning our wheels for nothing. Nothing here is working out. Well, God is working out some things in us as we go ahead and let our wheels spin. Amen? God is working things out of us in our wandering as we let our will spin. Romans 8:28 says that, you know, that it says that God, in the Greek it says that God arranges all things for us. And so anyway, you know, we just need to allow God to work all things for us, you know, as we go ahead and we wonder as we do those things that, you know, and that we need to do. Wondering in God leads to discovery in life. Let me say that again. Wondering in God leads to discovery in life. Wondering outside of God leads to more wondering and death. Now that is critical. Wondering in God leads to discovery in life. And the things of God we don't find, or God doesn't really give those to us, we have to discover them. But wandering outside of God leads to yet more wandering and death. The children of Israel wandered and wandered from one wilderness to the next. Some wandered and discovered the hidden riches and the provisions of God. Provisions of God must be discovered. Let me say that again. The provisions that God has for us, they must be discovered. They are hidden, not laying on the ground for just someone to have. Isaiah 45 says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Wow. These treasures and these riches are found in the secret places, in the times of wandering. Amen? That thou may know that I am the Lord, which calls thee by thy name, and the God of Israel. That's a tremendous verse where God has treasures of darkness. Treasures of darkness are found in the darkness for us. Amen? These riches and treasures are only discovered if we spend some time wandering in the wilderness. The places to find these treasures and the hidden riches are found wandering in the wilderness. Amen? Who has Matthew 11, 28 and 29? Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Amen. Thank you very much, Kathleen. So in verse 28, Jesus says that, you know, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. As in Isaiah 45:3 says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. But in Matthew 11:29, Jesus does not say he's going to give the rest. He says you have to go out and find the rest. Wow. You've got to go out and find the rest. It's we always want Jesus just to give us things, but that's not the way he operates. He's going to give us those things. He's going to give us all the things that we need, all that provision. But he says, now I'm going to give it to you now, but I want you, you see that field out there? That field is called distress, and it's called tribulation, and it's called the wilderness. And I want you to go out in that field, and I want you to discover that. I want you to discover those things in the wilderness, and then you can find those. See, we don't just find things, we discover those things of God. And they're in darkness. They're in places that are very difficult, and we can't see where we definitely have to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Well, they are not given to us. We have to go out and find them. Not much light to see in darkness. Faith is required to move successfully in darkness. Let me say that again. Faith is required to move successfully in darkness. I learned this the first time that I went to Bulgaria. The pastor and this young lady took me up to this old Turkish fort. And it probably was the most significant experience in God I ever had in my life. And the pastor took me behind this wall in this one room. It was a powder room, and it was a double room. And I didn't know it, but, there was a ditch, and it was a place where your feet, and it was only about no more than 6 feet. Now, I'm 6'5", and which meant there was like 5 inches that my head had to rub up against the ceiling of this, and it was just a very painful, excruciating time. But I couldn't turn around. I didn't have enough room to turn around. I had to keep on moving. And the longer I moved and the more I moved into this darkness, I could hear Pastor Yanko, who was very, very short, say, come on, let's go. But the more that I walked in there, the darker it got, but the more revelation that I experienced. It was amazing. It was like God opened up my head and just poured all of this stuff. I mean, all of these things. It was just, I had all of these thoughts, and it was just amazing, you know. It was just flowing through me, and I couldn't hold them, and it was just, you know, and I just kept moving, and as I moved, I made the turn in the back of the room, there was a little bit of light, and then I could see that, I mean, one wrong step, and I could break my leg, and it was just such a place of revelation, and I will never forget that. But that revelation happened not in the light, but it happened in the darkness. That's where the true secret riches and the hidden treasures of God are found, in the darkness. Like all wildernesses, Beersheba is a classroom in which the Lord adapts to teach, or, you know, attempts to teach the wanderer. The secret places are in the darkness of wandering, not knowing where to go or which way to turn. In the darkness and the stillness of knowing Him is where we can hear Him call us by name. It sounds kind of funny, but, you know, I could hear Pastor Yanko, who is probably 5'5", you think? 5'6". I mean, he could easily, you know, make it in this little short space. And I could hear him say, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. I think it's from the only language, the only English he knows. But, I mean, you know, it's like, it was like Jesus calling my name. Come on, let's go. Because I didn't want to go into the darkness. But he kept saying, come on, let's go. And as I got in there, I couldn't turn around. But the more I walk down, you know, and even in the more pain I was experiencing, the more revelation I received. It was just something that was really, really phenomenal. Amen. These are the places, not for the casual Christian, but for the ones who really desire to come to know God. The darkness, the wandering in the wilderness, these are the places for only those who really desire to know God. The first truth to be discovered in this classroom is in Jeremiah 10:23, and it's here in our notes here. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Wandering brings us to the end of ourselves. Wow, that's powerful. Brings us to the end of ourselves, to the end of our abilities and strength. I will tell you, unless God can bring us to the end of ourselves, to the end of our abilities, the end of our strength, he will never be able to use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. If we do not discover this truth, not find it or not be given it, but discover this truth, we will never move in the directives of God. Never. It's impossible. Unless we allow God to direct our steps, we will continue to wander and wander and wander, and we know then wandering, wandering, and wandering will lead to death if we do not learn those lessons. Amen? So we must learn those lessons. Wow. I wonder how Jeremiah knew, or I know. I wonder how Jeremiah knew, well, he was known as the weeping prophet. Amen? Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. So in the times that brought on those tears and those hard times and those difficulties that enabled him to be called the weeping prophet, he came to know God. And then in Jeremiah 10:23, he could say, O Lord, I know. Wow. And we learn things and we know things after the Lord begins to work in our lives. Amen? Mm-hmm. It is in these times in the wilderness that we can become to know Him. The second truth to be discovered is in John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So this is the second truth we must discover, is without him we can do nothing. Oh, we try to do things, but when there's all said and done, we can do only nothing. Unless we discover where our strength really comes from, we will continue to expend our energy doing nothing. You know, nothing is something, but there's nothing there. For some time, this can be a good thing for not until we come to the end of our strength and we see the need for God's strength that God can, you know, He can take us over. So a lot of times when we start moving in our own strength, the goodness there is moving in our own strength is we are depleting our energy, we are depleting our strength. Until we come to the point that we have no strength, we have no ability, we have nothing, and then we come to the end of ourselves. What a wonderful place in God to come to is the end of ourselves. Wow. In John 21:17, Peter was finally brought to the end of himself. That is the place where God is waiting for us. That is where God can use us when we come to the end of ourselves. Finally, Jesus brought Peter to the place where he could say, Lord, you know all things. You know I'm not the man I say I am. You know I'm not the preacher. And, you know, Lord, you know all things. And I believe at that time, that's when, you know, Jesus began to really mold and shape Peter into someone that he could count on. Amen. Of course, that was after he denied him 3 times. Mm-hmm. Today the church says, we can do this and we can do that, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But Jesus said, I can do nothing. Wow, it's in John 5:30. I can do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. I say nothing of my own unless the Father tells me to say it. I in myself, I have no power. The word power there is dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite from. Unless the Father gives it to me. Jesus, who created the world, everything, says he has no power except for the power that the Father gives him. The end of ourself is where God is waiting for us. The end of ourself is where God is waiting for us. Wow. What a great place to come to in God. Even Jesus, as I said, discovered this truth. In John 8:28, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, and the lifted up is a term that the Romans called crucifixion, it's called being lifted up. So Jesus was saying, when I am crucified, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Wow, so when Jesus loses his strength, when he loses his ability, when he loses his life, then you will learn that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Wow. Because if you come after me, well, Jesus died. I mean, the future for the disciples was kind of grim, believe it or not, and that was if they're going to follow and become like Jesus, then their destiny was to die. Not too many Christians want to die. They want to live, and do this and do that. Well, that's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to fall into the ground and die, and let the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Fruitfulness in God comes out of falling into the ground and die. And that's what Jesus was telling the disciples here in John 8:28. The truth is not laying on the ground for people to step over or step on, but it is hidden in life's hidden secret places in the Word of God for us to discover. I wonder what the church would look like today if we only did and said those things the Father told us to do. I wonder what the church would look like. If it was the impact that it would have in the world, if we only did and said those things that the Father told us to say and do. Wow. Some parting thoughts. Like Jesus, we are to be taught by the Father. We are to be taught by the Father. Man, pastors, teachers, and preachers have their part to play. But real truth and understanding can only come by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. But real truth and understanding can only be discovered by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives us that revelation. Galatians 1:12 says this, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what Paul was telling the church in Galatia, and you know the church in Galatia was like the church in Jerusalem, they were thinking about walking away from God. Let me say that again. The church in Galatia and the church in Jerusalem, in the book of Hebrews, they were thinking about walking away from God because they were on that fence. And they were into legalism and the things of, Judaism and stuff. But at the same time, they were trying to hold on to the things of God. And both of those books, that is what's going on. And Paul was telling the Christians at Galatia, for I never received it from man, the revelation that I have being saved by grace. And neither was I taught it. I wasn't taught it. No one taught me this. But this came by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the more we can see Jesus Christ, the more Christ in us hope of glory, the more we'll be able to discover these truths that God has for us. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is, his power, his strength, his faithfulness, his forgiveness, and yes, his love. Wow. If we do not learn these things of God, then we will never, ever be used of God. And we'll just never, ever be used of God. And we must learn these lessons. We must learn these things. Amen? If not, we will never, ever be used of God. Mentors and Bible schools are needed, I guess. but the real teacher is the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Mentors, and I have in my Bible teacher, Charles Hahn was a mentor, and I, you know, as someone I would listen to with my elder brother John. And Bible schools are needed, but the real teacher is the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the real teacher. These hidden treasures are discovered as we are taught by God in the wilderness, His classroom. The wilderness is His classroom. John 6 and 45 says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, wherefore, that has heard and hath learned of the Father, come unto me." Taught in the wilderness. Taught in the wilderness of confusion and trials and situations and issues and testings and all of these things that we do not want to walk in. But in these places is where the hidden secrets, you know, in the treasures of darkness are for us to discover. And we view the children of Israel wondered and wondered and wondered. It leads us to discovery. Those that discovered the hidden treasures in God lived, and there were only two, believe it or not, from the first generation, that was Joshua and Caleb, and those who did not die. Wow, they did not die, or they died. Today, the same hidden treasures are before us, waiting to be found. Those same treasures that God had for the children of Israel are waiting for us to be found. The truth is God gave us His Holy Spirit to show us where they are and how, you know, they are to be a benefit in our life. Unless we discover God and learn in our wilderness, we too will die like the children of Israel. We'll die like the children of Israel. Only two of the 4.5 million first generation that left Goshen made it to the promised land, not the promised land, the promised land. This was the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the covenant. All others fell into the wilderness. Hebrews 3:17 and 18 says, because of unbelief and disobedience, their carcasses, talking about that 4.5 million that left Goshen, their carcasses fell in the wilderness because they did not, I repeat, did not learn the lessons that God had for them. Wondering is a wonderful thing in our life, and as we wonder, then we can discover those things that God has for us. Amen.